Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking about quality time with God. This message is for those who have a heart after God and want to be ready for His appearing and do His perfect will. This message is dedicated for those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives in the time we have left and glorify God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. "Wherefore he said, Awake, thou sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, "Wherefore ye be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Paul told the church to wake up and arise from the dead. Anyone living in the flesh who is not seeking to do the will of God is dead spiritually. Jesus died for you. He also sent you to this planet to do something. You need to redeem the time you spent in the flesh. This is part of your repentance. Things are not going to get any easier, but the kingdom is here now. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 13. "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in that way." Verse 14. "Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." One reason you are sleeping is because you were not confronted with the true spiritual state when you were first converted. You chose to believe a lie that you could enter the kingdom of God just by confessing your sins. He paid the price for you to live in the kingdom of God and do the works that God has planned for your life by denying yourself. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Your conscience needs to be purged from dead works. This is the best thing that can ever happen. Do not be satisfied with just saying a prayer and asking God for forgiveness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Three things are required for a clear conscience. Number one, remorse. Remorse is godly sorrow that comes from understanding that your sin caused something eternal to be lost or stolen. Worldly sorrow is based on what might happen in terms of retribution. Godly sorrow is a realization that you gave the devil access to steal, kill, and destroy. You may end up in condemnation because the devil does not want you to be free. Do not let this happen. Stay in the Spirit, submit to God, and resist the devil if you want to get to the root of sin. James says in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, I'm reading. This is James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Number 2. Restitution. This means putting things right, no matter what is the cost. You must agree to do whatever is necessary beforehand. God will not try you beyond what you're able. In the natural, it might mean repairing a broken window, but in the spiritual, it includes a spiritual responsibility to be an example to others and live a godly life. You might have to write letters of apology for your poor conduct. It could mean you will have to work hard and redeem any lost time. All of this you must be willing to do if the Lord requires it. Do not do this out of guilt, as it just becomes another work in the flesh. Restitution can include taking time to study and submit yourself to someone for further training or correction. Jesus must be Lord of your repentance. Number 3, repentance. This is turning the opposite direction. If you were going north, then it means to go south. You have to establish him as Lord first because you were living in darkness. Admit that you were using your mind trying to follow Christ. The only way you can go the right direction is to hear from him and get on the narrow way and respond to daily conviction. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. God knows what is required in our lives. His requirements for your life should have been confirmed with someone who's already following the Lord, who has some experience of what God required them to do. You should have put things right at the beginning, while you were still conscious of sin, knowing how you lived your life in the past, and repent with zeal. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The word zealous in Strong's is number 2206. It's some other words which means warmth of feeling for or against, affect, covet, earnestly, to have a desire for, or move with envy, or be jealous over. The evangelist Charles Grandison Finney in 1792 to 1875 was an American Presbyterian minister and a leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. He said in his autobiography on pages 159 to 161, speaking about new converts, he said, "Faith in God and God in Christ was ever made prominent. They were informed that this faith is not a mere intellectual assent, but is the consent or trust of the heart, a voluntary, intelligent trust in God as he is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the justice of endless punishment was fully insisted upon, not only its justice, but the certainty that sinners will be endlessly punished if they die in their sins was strongly held forth. Sinners were never taught in any of the revivals that they needed to expect conversion in answer to their own prayers. They were told that if they regarded iniquity in their hearts, the Lord would not hear them, and that while they remained impenitent, they were sinning in their hearts, and that such impenitent and unbelieving prayer is an abomination to God. But if they were truly disposed to offer acceptable prayer to God, they could do it, for there was nothing but their own obstinacy in the way of doing so at once. In short, pains were taken to shut the sinner up to accepting Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations, renouncing all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here and now forever. The kingdom is already here now by the Spirit. Everything you need to do the will of God is available by faith, including the grace and power. It's important that you understand the seriousness of your sin and start working towards a clear conscience. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. God has already decided what you will do on this earth. Wisdom in Ephesians 5 is defined as understanding what is the will of the Lord for your life now and redeeming the time. You should be hearing the Lord by grace through faith and working out your salvation from the moment you are born again. There are no excuses. You are not to seek God for blessings. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, I'm reading. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you have repented of dead works, then you must turn in repentance and do the works you should have been doing instead. This is your first communication with God at salvation. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Paul had persecuted the church. We read in Acts chapter 9, I'm reading verses 1 to 20. This is the book of Acts, chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? Verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Verse 12. And he had seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and the kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, has sent me, and that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Time spent in the flesh is wasted time, living in darkness. You now have to redeem that time and get on the narrow road. Seek the Lord and get a fresh word from him. Let God decide what happens to you. God will send someone. If you are sinning ignorantly, and he can have mercy on your life too, everyone will be given a chance to hear the truth and repent. Some are hearing the gospel all the time and make excuses. So then he uses someone who really repents from dead works to wake you up. Paul said in Romans 9, verses 14 and 15, I'm reading Romans chapter 9 and verse 14, What shall we say then? Is there righteousness with God? God forbid. Verse 15. And he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Doing your own works is the sin of commission, but failing to do God's perfect will is the sin of omission. Maybe you ask God about the obvious sins, but not about what you fail to do in its place. You cannot just move on and act like your past is all dealt with by confessing your sins. This is not wise. Paul was giving his testimony, and Paul said in Acts chapter 26, verses 19 to 20, I'm reading. This is Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. The word meet in Strong's is number 514, and it comes from another word, means deserving, comparable, or suitable, or due reward. You cannot gain a clear conscience before God and men by just saying a prayer for forgiveness. You also have to dedicate your life to the calling he has on your life. Paul had a high calling on his life. He got extra grace. He said Jesus appeared to him in a vision. Paul was not unclear about the calling on his own life after spending time with the disciples. As part of his restitution, he went back to the synagogues and began proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Paul said in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. This is Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. In the Amplified Bible, Acts 24 and verse 16 says, therefore I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, and blameless conscience, void of offense towards God and towards men. Time spent on computer games, smartphones, and social media can absorb your time so that you do not have time to pray and read your Bible. This is a misuse of time God gave you on this earth. Ask God to forgive you. In the Amplified, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 16 says this, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Part of your repentance is seeking now to have some quality time with the Lord instead. Ask God to forgive you and see what He will say for you to do now in order to redeem the time, so that you always have a clear conscience with God. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 8, on page 128, Joseph Hedgecott writes, I settled this issue when I first began to walk with the Lord. I did nothing but seek Him. The things I had liberty to do in the natural realm, I chose not to do unless it was necessary to make a living. I loved playing golf, but I chose not to play golf. I spent every possible moment seeking the Lord and studying His word. I even neglected Shirley. We had not been married long, but I did not spend enough quality time with her. It was not because I was selfish. She understood and completely supported my decision. She told me to seek the Lord and do what I needed to do. She never complained, nor did she feel neglected, because God gave her grace. She spent time studying and reading the word as well, and followed me as I followed the Lord. True repentance from dead works includes working on your calling. God's power is available by faith. The problem is your own unbelief. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 24, and I'm reading all the way to verse 30. This is Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. Verse 26, and his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore have put the money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. And for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unbelief is based on a lie that you believe to be the truth. You chose to believe what you wanted to believe so you could still do what you want. Actually, you're only deceiving yourself. The end result is that you will end up being like the lazy and wicked servant. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verses 3 all the way to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. The word blind in Strong's is number 5185. From another word, it means opaque, as in smoky. That is, by analogy, blind, physically or mentally blind. Paul also tells the church in Rome to wake up. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You may visit different ministries with nice looking expensive sanctuaries, hoping to copy their methods. Are you deceiving yourself? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You were told to copy or imitate Paul. Paul was not a fanatical Christian. He was following Christ. He wrote most of the New Testament letters, so there's no excuse. Follow Paul's example, or you will end up following anything that looks good on the outside. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 26 to 28. This is Matthew chapter 23, starting verse 26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Verse 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus described those intellectuals who were using their mind to study the law as totally blind. You may not have the boldness to call somebody blind, but today, those using their minds studying the Bible at Bible school are spiritually blind too. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In the natural realm, you do not forget things easily if you are following Christ. The Holy Spirit is there to remind you of what you need to do. You can only have a clear conscience by following Christ. By obeying the Holy Spirit, your conscience will remain clear. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, I'm reading verses 13 to 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come." Verse 14. "And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, describes the steps spiritually once you've repented of dead works. I've also included definitions from the Amplified Bible. Number 1, faith. Number 2, virtue. That's excellence, resolution, and Christian energy. Number 3, knowledge or intelligence. Number 4, temperance or self-control. Number 5, patience, steadfastness or endurance. Number 6, godliness or piety. Number 7, brotherly kindness. That's brotherly affection. And number 8, charity or Christian love. In the book Light, in chapter 1 on page 9, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "You had to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and repent in order to get saved. Even if you haven't been trusting God with your whole heart since your salvation, you can choose now to believe what he says. Faith is trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he says he will do." Joseph Hedgecott has a series of books called Wake Up, Time is Running Out. And I believe you need to start working through this material if necessary. Volume 1 is on Foundations to Spiritual Maturity. Volume 2 is on Growing Up Spiritually. Volume 3 is on Spiritual Maturity. Volume 1 will help you overcome spiritual immaturity and escape the lust of the flesh. Make no excuses. God is not the problem, or the devil. James says in James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 13. "Let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man." Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." The book Wake Up Volume 2 will help you grow up without using your mind. You have to get in the Spirit and grow up spiritually. Most are trying to grow up using natural discernment instead because they do not accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity, in chapter 8, on page 78, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Spending quality time in the Word with the Holy Spirit guiding you is essential for growing up spiritually. It exposes the sin that hinders you. The truth washes away the lies you have believed. The word reveals personal revelations from the Spirit for you. Of course, he also speaks to you directly. Do not read your Bible the same way you read other books. Your personal conclusions and opinions will be the very reason you cannot hear the truth, because they are based on worldly education and natural understanding. It is dangerous to read and study in a way that allows Satan to lead you astray with ways that seem right. It's so important that you seek the Lord and you do not seek knowledge of the Bible. Joseph Edgecott was seeking to know him first, and only for the sake of earning a living did he do anything else. Joseph and his wife Shirley saw God provide food miraculously during this time of seeking. They were not concerned about finances. Comfortable Christians think that quality time is just some time in the morning or just something you do when you have a free slot in the day. Jesus told us to pray like this in the morning in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Are you praying for the kingdom to come and his will being done? You can also pray for God to close doors of opportunity that you are not ready to go through now. The devil wants you to believe in yourself. Take a scripture out of context, so you will fall and publicly discredit the name of Jesus. But you can ask God to close those doors now while you work humbly on your relationship with God in the meantime. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Many are too anxious to do something for God because they do not have a clear conscience and are doing things out of guilt instead. They believe lies at the start and are doing their ministry works instead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, I'm reading, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those who do not have a clear conscience end up listening to their devil, because they believed a lie that God would tell them something unpleasant to do instead. Your own efforts to do something cannot please God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Joseph Hedgecott was not seeking ministry or knowledge, but intimacy, and he did not want to be a hypocrite either. He experienced God's love after he realized that he had also dishonored God and his own parents in the way he was living. His immediate response to God's love was to show love back to him and get to know him. Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, this is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Joseph received a lot of revelation as he pursued a closer relationship with the Lord. Joseph was reading the scriptures 12 hours a day because of his calling, and then 16 hours a day on the weekend. And he did this for 2 years. God gave him Christian energy to do this. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Joseph was serious about a relationship with God, and he found the scriptures he was looking for by grace. This started from the first day of falling in love with God. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, this is Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." If you want to be faithful, start by doing your first works properly and do something to show your love for him. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What is your motive for reading the Bible? Are you doing things because someone told you to read the Bible? If you fall in love with Jesus, no one will have to remind you to read your Bible. Instead, you will have Christian energy based on faith expressing itself through love. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, this is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." Joseph Hedgecock was reading, just trying to find authority in the Bible that he could get to know God personally in the same way he knew his wife Shirley. This was not seeking blessings. The first verse Joseph found that suggested that this was possible was in Jeremiah. We read in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, starting in verse 23. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24. "But let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Your wisdom, your achievements and riches should not hinder you from paying the price to know God. But they can if you let them. Are you willing to lose everything, if necessary, to gain or win Christ? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Those rich in this life find it very hard to follow Christ. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 23, and reading all the way to verse 30. This is Matthew, chapter 19, starting in verse 23. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 24. "And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 25. "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?" Verse 26. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Verse 28, And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29, And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30, But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Reading and studying each verse was part of Joseph's calling, and it may not be necessary that you have to study and read so much. Joseph had to bring teaching that was foundational to the whole body of Christ, and this could not be built on another man's foundation that was missing the truth. Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Pray about how many chapters you need to read per day and over what period of time. Everything should be done in faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. People say they do not have time to read the Bible, but that is a lie. They have time for other things. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. You cannot understand the Bible properly if you are not following Christ. If you're trying to make time to read or spend time with God, then you have a wrong understanding of quality time. If you try to create a few minutes here and there with your own efforts, the devil will make sure these get filled with something else or create a last-minute distraction. The devil has access because you are still lord of your own time. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul also had a practical way of living, which he expected others to follow, and sent Timothy to show how he was living daily. Jesus was speaking in Luke 9 and verse 23. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Those early disciples heard all the teachings of Jesus, but did not record anything he said at the time. Instead, they recorded it later in the upper room with the help of the Holy Spirit. Do read the whole Bible, but it will not make sense until you start following Jesus, denying yourself, and taking up your cross daily. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe that all of Scripture is God-breathed and is an accurate account because it came through the Holy Spirit. Each of the Gospel writers wrote the Gospel accounts as the Spirit of Truth led them. There are no inaccuracies because the Holy Spirit directed everything. Even if those disciples forgot some details, the Spirit was able to bring facts and figures back to their mind by the Spirit because they were following Jesus. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." This promise was given to the disciples. Do not deceive yourself and think that you really understand spiritual things without following Christ and putting him first. You also need to stop using your mind. We read in Psalm 46 and verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I'll be exalted in the earth." God should be the one bringing thoughts to your mind. And when this happens, you start getting answers. It will give you confidence that you're also hearing God. In my experience, it started with verses of scripture I had read coming back to my mind for me to study. I was lazy at first, but when I repented, the Holy Spirit led me around the scriptures. I did not need a commentary from some other author. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Paul had read through the scriptures many times, but after his conversion, the scales fell off his eyes after he accepted his calling. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." My son heard me speak at a weekend seminar on reading the Bible and came under conviction. He had not read the whole Bible from beginning to end. He asked God for forgiveness, and he did not make any excuses, but asked God what to do next. God said to read the whole Bible in 90 days. This was a commitment of about 13 chapters of the Bible a day. He asked me to confirm that God was saying to do this, and God immediately confirmed it. I said, "Go for it." He rejoiced because he knew that this was what God had said to him personally. My son Matthew was in college at the time, and I got the impression he had an allergic reaction to study and hard work. If I used my reasoning, I would have said, "Wait, this is something for later." I asked God, "Is this right?" He said, "Yes." And God provided the grace and power for Matthew to finish the task at such a rate. Matthew testified later that God gave him a supernatural ability to concentrate on the Word of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Those seeking the power of the Holy Spirit are not always prepared to glory in their weaknesses. Comfortable Christians only do things in an area where they have some talent and try to give glory to God. But God does not get much glory from using the talents he gave you. He expects you to make more talents in other areas where you are weak, because you have to trust him in those areas. Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 17, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Verse 15. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Verse 16. "Then he that had the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other five talents. Verse 17, and likewise he that received two, he also gained another two. Those who are faithful when Jesus returns will have turned their weaknesses into strengths. We read in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, and I'm reading all the way to verse 12. This is Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Those early disciples were also transformed. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. He gets the glory where our talents are missing or absent. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men out of the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Those who resist their calling, according to Paul, are those who have a natural wisdom, those that are mighty and those that are rich. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 8, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 8, thus saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Are you worthy? If you want to be part of the kingdom of God, you need the right clothes and make yourself ready. You will not be able to do this with any earthly wisdom, strength, or riches. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that they may see. Many are called, but few are chosen. One person asked me, how long is the training program? I said to the person, that depends on how quickly you kill the flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Only those who have crucified the flesh will be ready. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is no condemnation if you repent now and stop following the dictates of the flesh and abide in Him. You can make a fresh start to trust and obey and follow Him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 9, Joseph Hedgecock speaks about the purifying of your faith and says, spend quality time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, asking Him to purify your faith by exposing the lies you believe to be the truth. This will be time well spent. Also on page 14, in the same chapter, he again asks you to use quality time with God to answer these questions. Number one, have the necessary foundation stones of truth actually been set in place in your spirit? That is, has your character changed? Number two, does the fruit of your life prove they are firmly set in place? Number three, are you still inconsistent spiritually? Number four, do you continue to struggle with the flesh, especially when you are under pressure? Number five, are you growing at the pace you should be? Number six, have you been faithful to build additional truths on top of the foundational truths you have been taught? Only He knows the answer to these questions. Do not listen to your own heart. This is not the definition of quality time. By listening to your own heart, you will end up deceiving yourself. Only by listening to the Holy Spirit can you come to truth. We read in Jeremiah 17. I'm reading verses 9 to 13. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. And even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse 11. And the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not. So he that gets riches not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Make sure you repent of any area where you have compromised on your calling because of money. If you have become comfortable, you might not want to hear about redeeming the time. That is part of restitution. Repent of not being zealous for the works He wants you to do. Paul says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, on page 28, Joseph Hedgecock says at the end of this chapter, you cannot get to know God if you do not spend quality time in His presence. Fellowship with Him will be greatly hindered if you do not obey Him from a loving heart. As you obey and trust Him, your relationship with Him will deepen. As it does, God will give you multiple opportunities to serve Him. We rely on the Holy Spirit to understand the things of God. And when I study something, my mind is still. I come to God as a little child. I do not even look up any verse unless He puts it in my mind, as otherwise it's not spiritual. Only look up the verses he brings to my mind. Only use a concordance of the King James Bible. The old English words sometimes make it hard to understand, so that is helpful, as I have to look up the Greek or Hebrew to get the original meaning. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Use a notebook so you can record spiritual information and then look at what you've recorded when you have more time. You may want to jot it down on your phone and then later write it up in your notebook. Spend quality time comparing this new information with other spiritual information you may have received. Initially, it's mostly conviction, but keep using a notebook and process sin properly, and through this, you will experience God speaking clearly about many other areas. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 2, on page 40, Joseph Edgecott says, the more you expand your notebook, the more quality time you spend with the Spirit teaching and correcting you, the faster you will grow. When you embrace His work in you, you will not waste time doing things that seem right, that do not produce any fruit. Conviction is a blessing, and you need to see it that way. Jesus prayed for you and for all those who believed on the word the disciples wrote. We read in John 17, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The word know in John 17 and verse 3 in Strong's is number 1097. It's a prolonged form of a primary verb, means to know absolutely, in a great variety of applications and with many implications. It means to allow, to be aware of, to feel, to have knowledge, to perceive, to be resolved, that you can speak and be sure and understand. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, at the start of Chapter 5, on page 77, Joseph Edgecott says, God has authorized you to have a relationship with Him and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. To fulfill this gift, God has made provision for you to spend quality time in their presence. He has also made the way to have two-way communication with them. Without this type of communication, the gift of eternal life cannot be manifested and fulfilled. Knowing Him means to know God personally, intimately, the way a husband knows a wife, or two people are best friends, sharing from the heart two ways, not one way. When you are sharing from your heart, you can also be filled with joy as He sets you free. David said in Psalm 16 and verse 11. This is Psalms 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You will never abide in His presence unless you follow the path that He has determined for your life. Jesus is always right, but He's also pure love. Do not try to understand this with your mind. There is no greater pleasure than letting God use you. His pure love will flow through you instead. in his right hand. You let him act how he wants to through you. God never reacts and only acts based on love. This is an important aspect of getting to know the Lord too. David said in Psalm 63, I'm reading Psalm 63 verses 1 to 4. That's Psalm 63 and verse 1. A psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longs for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee, will I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Quality time is being at the right hand of God and letting God do things through you. David said his soul was thirsty for this quality time. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in the assignment in the end of Chapter 7 on True Repentance, on page 107, Joseph Hedgecock says, spending quality time in the presence of God should be your top priority. Seek the Holy Spirit and the Word for revelation. When truth comes and you are convicted, focus on walking out your repentance as quickly as possible. The devil does not want you to get to the root of sin, as his kingdom is based on lies. Those lies you chose to believe instead because of carnal desires you did not declare at salvation and were not willing to get on the narrow way to follow Christ. Now you definitely need to redeem the time lost, so humble yourself. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom you must resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 9, on page 121, Joseph Hedgecock says, if you struggle with certain commands the Lord gives you, it is likely that you have put boundaries on his lordship. Perhaps you're willing to obey some of the time, but there are certain situations or requirements you hesitate to obey or even rebel against. If this is true in your life, you have set conditions, maybe even subconsciously, for your obedience. Perhaps there are areas where you do not trust the Lord with all your heart. It is also possible that these are areas of your flesh you are unwilling to mortify. There may be a number of reasons why you have not chosen Jesus as Lord in all things and at all times. If this is true, it's crucial to spend quality time with him, seeking revelation about why you are unable to do this. He is more than willing to show you any hindrance that are keeping you from making this decision. Have you set boundaries on Jesus' lordship? If you set boundaries on the lordship of Jesus Christ, then you will only have short-lived encounters instead and begin to deceive yourself that this is quality time when it's not. God can speak to his prophets through a vision, but that is not the same. We read in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 all the way to verse 8. This is Numbers chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Verse 4. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in my house. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You can make him Lord of all in one decision. Joseph Hedgecott settled the lordship in one day. So many have seen this as radical, but why? The truth is that many have set boundaries for his lordship. All areas that are not under his lordship are areas of sin and iniquity that are controlled by the devil instead, and the result is that you are not free. We read in the book of Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. This is Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Iniquity and sin is the problem. God has opened your eyes to the truth, but somewhere you have hardened your heart and erected boundaries. Iniquity is departing from the truth and listening to lies instead. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, on page 162, Joseph Hedgecott says, this is a vitally important principle. In the early years, I wanted to spend quality time in God's presence, and I knew sin would separate me from him. I also knew the basic definition of sin was missing the mark. You need to understand the principle of missing the mark, because unless you are pressing, you cannot have quality time with God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot get the quality time and make excuses for sin. Those seeking and trying to obey God are not making excuses. God is looking at your heart, and he sees the end from the beginning. We read in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, I'm reading. This is Isaiah chapter 46, starting in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, on pages 166 and 167, Joseph Hedgecott says, if missing the mark is sin, how can you ever get into God's presence and spend quality time there? Yes, you can repent of what God shows you and move into his presence, but you're not meeting every standard God has set for you. It seems that spending quality and quantity time with God would be impossible under these circumstances. It would seem it is impossible to enjoy the gift of eternal life as promised in John 17:3. How can you spend time with God if you are constantly missing multiple marks God has established for his people? This would seem to create an impossible situation, and many believers stumble over this point. You must understand how God operates. Let us look at a natural example that may help you see this principle. If you are a parent of multiple children, you have a different standard of conduct required for each child based on their age and maturity. You do not require the same behavior from a 5-year-old that you would from a 15-year-old. The rules are based on where they are in the growth process. When you look at the Bible from your natural mind and see God's many commandments, you may forget that these are meant for everyone, from newborn believers to mature ministers. Yet you are required to obey God's commandments in fullness. His laws are absolute. However, God knows exactly where you are on the journey toward reaching the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. He requires an obedient heart that is eager to obey whatever he commands. And what he does not choose to deal with at the present time is covered by his grace. As long as you are faithful in your journey and deal with the issues when he brings them to your attention, you are in right standing with him. All of God's commandments do not necessarily relate to where you are at this moment. Some of them apply in varying degrees. God does not require you to be perfect, but he does command you to continually press towards the mark of his high calling. Philippians 3 and verse 14. This will manifest in different ways depending on your spiritual age. Christ is the standard. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. When Joseph started the ministry, he was also working for a security firm, and he took the whole job by himself, just so he had time to read and concentrate on his word. He also had other jobs later, but only what the Lord directed. Jesus said to his own disciples in John chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, I'm reading. This is John 14, starting in verse 21. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. By keeping his commands, you are doing the things out of love. Obedience to the will of God is love. God is love, and if you are doing anything out of a selfish reason, you are not speaking the same language. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Herein is our love made manifest, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. God is the only source of pure love. God supplies that love in abundance so that we can also love him back. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39. I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, starting in verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38. And this is the first and great commandment. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God will never require us to do something that's impossible for us to do. Jesus said, loving God is similar to loving your neighbor as your own self. Loving my neighbor is doing the things for my neighbor that I would like him to do for me. Loving God with all my mind is letting him put his thoughts in my mind of what he wants me to do for him. We read in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Clear the way for him to put his thoughts by denying yourself. You should not be thinking about anything in this world. I let him fill my mind with what he wants me to do. I do not give him just a few megabytes. He cannot put his thoughts there if I am anxious or worried or thinking about this life. If I love the Lord, then I also prefer him using my mind as he wants to. We read in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. This is Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. The word stayed in Strong's is number 5564, and it's a primitive root, to prop up, to lean upon, to take hold of. It means to bear up, establish, hold, lay, lean, lie hard, put, rest, set self, and stand fast. If you don't have your mind stayed on him, it is because you do not trust him with your life. Do not seek him for blessings or come with a long shopping list in prayer. Start with repentance. God sees your heart. We read in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. This is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You might believe a lie that God is going to overload you. You have to decide what is the truth. Let God upload his programs in your mind. You can even try praying, download, download. Letting him put thoughts in your mind is a key to seeking God with all your heart. As he becomes your first love, then he communicates through thoughts he puts in your mind. And you share from your heart with him. In this way, you can have a conversation inside your head. If he is Lord of your life, you can begin to seek God with all your heart, because God has also exposed lies in your deceitful heart and you have repented from dead works. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I share something from my heart based on thoughts he gives, and then I get a corresponding thought again appearing in my mind. I needed a lot of correction in the beginning because my heart was deceived. But this is how intimacy starts. You should have full confidence that anything he puts in your mind, he is inviting you to speak with him about and diligently seek him. If you love the Lord, then you prefer him to speak first and get to share from your heart based on the thoughts he brings. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 18 and verse 3. and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is not just a suggestion. Becoming like a little child is not a temporary state just to get what you want. Those destined to rule and reign with Christ will be like little children. Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4. This is Matthew again, chapter 18 and verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is here now, and the world is passing away, so do not hold on to the world. The most stressful time is coming on those who love this world. However, your mind will be kept safe by being like a little child. You'll also be one of the top leaders in the kingdom of God by hearing, trusting, and obeying Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 12, this is Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Maybe you prefer the system of the world where people are demanding, pushy, debate, and reason to get their opinions heard. But that is not the kingdom of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Any effort using your mind trying to love God will fail. Loving God with all your mind is not you thinking about God every second. This is just works. Your mind belongs to God anyway, and therefore you have to ask permission to use it. If you are born again, your mind is now connected to God through the Holy Spirit by faith, and you can ask God instead. You don't have to think. He loves you. Concentrate on the things he is telling you to do now. Loving God with all your mind is also keeping the devil out of your mind. For more information, please read chapter 14, The Battle for Your Mind, in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need the right attitude about time to have quality time with God. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I pray about every activity. When I started, I was not trying to get time off for my own needs. Time belongs to God. I just wanted to serve God. When I started in the ministry, I did not want to waste any more time. I submitted to Joseph Hedgecock as part of my repentance and started traveling with him, just so he could correct me. I did not have a command from God to leave my job at that time, and had to work a regular job approximately 7.5 hours per day. I even said to Joseph I would prepare all his international trips on the basis that I could go with him. I had a few contacts in the ministry at the time, but not as many as I do today. However, God saw my heart, and all I wanted was for Joseph to correct me and tell me in what way my life was wrong. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek his commands and benefit from repentance, and you'll be ready for his appearing. He also takes care of the rest of your needs in the meantime. To travel, I had to leave my wife, Louise, for up to 4 weeks at a time. I occasionally worked overtime, but I never asked for this back in terms of pay. I always wanted time in place of my overtime to cover these trips with Joseph. The company I worked for allowed flexible time. By the grace of God, I still had time for family holidays. God gave grace to Louise also. To join Joseph on a trip, I would often leave early in the morning or at night and then come back and go straight into work. I did this to avoid taking another day off work. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The priority is always on the spiritual, because the kingdom of God is here now. If you concentrate on what he wants you to do, then tomorrow will take care of itself. I did not give 30 minutes to God and then use the rest of the day for my flesh. I worked hard and did what I had to do at work, and the rest of the time was God's. I did not make any provision for the flesh. I was tempted to make some extra time for myself, but it never helped me spiritually. And if you give yourself time to do what you want and make the decisions, you will feed the flesh and not the spirit. Your flesh will also get stronger, and you will stop hearing God clearly. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I was only able to be busy and function with God's energy and provision because I was living in the rest of God. If there were any carnal desires in me, God's grace and power would have stopped. Being passionate about his calling on your life is the only way to live. You came to this planet to do the will of God. You will get to rest now by being yoked to Jesus. And if you're yoked to him, then you will notice in the spirit any changes when you try to go in a different direction to him. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it's taught you, you shall abide in him. We do not start our day with our own plans. The priority is seeking his perfect will. So many are satisfied to give a little time to God and then end up serving another agenda. Those who are awake are already doing the will of God. If you are not following Christ, then you are following the devil. There is no third choice. Spending quality time does not necessarily mean always reading the scriptures. It has mainly to do with who is Lord of your life. You can be in the world, but not doing things the way others do. The Holy Spirit can teach you all things. Your responsibility is to keep your mind still and uncluttered. You cannot think about the cares of the world and hear from God clearly. God will remind you of something for tomorrow if necessary. If you are trying to use your mind to be faithful, it will not work. Some of you have shied away from conviction, and as a result, you miss the blessing. But if you love conviction, you will grow spiritually. You might believe the lie that God is angry, but if you open the door to let the devil in, you will feel condemnation. You can ask God any questions as long as you don't question God's decisions. He is Lord. Let him correct your heart motive, and then you will seek and find him. You should feel some conviction if you're doing this in the presence of God, but there is no condemnation if you're following Christ. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep, Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and start on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience your salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. The message you've heard today is about spending quality time with the Lord. Every minute you can spend with Him. It's not about just that time in the morning. You can spend quality time at the same time doing any activity. I pray that you seek the Lord to do the things that He has called you to do. Other things He will take care of. That business, that life, whatever you're trying to do in life, He will take care of it. Quality time is pursuing the will of God for your life. Start with repentance. Look at things that you have obviously done wrong. Then look at things that you have failed to do, that God has called you to do. And He will lead you. He will make a way for you to serve Him. And in so doing, you will build up experience and a quality of life based on serving Him. This is quality time. Father, I'm praying for everyone who's listened to this message. I know You've spoken to their hearts. Maybe they saw just quality time as a prayer life or a short dedication just to You. And Father, I pray that You would show them a deeper experience. Many have shied away from following You on the narrow way. And that's why they don't have that quality time with You even now, because they never really denied themselves and took up their cross. Father, I pray for them that their lives will be transformed as they humble themselves now and desire to follow You to the very end, like a little child. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God. If you've really enjoyed this message, then there will be some contact details, and below this, the verses of scripture I've used today. God bless you.